The following is a community affairs presentation from the Ulster County Health Department. This is the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a weekly presentation exploring community health and sustainability with guests representing a broad spectrum of community partners working to make Ulster County the healthiest in New York State. This program is sponsored by the Health Alliance of the Hudson Valley in Kingston, a member of the WMC Health Network.
Good morning. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. My name is Vincent Martello. I'm Director of Community Health Relations for the Ulster County Department of Health and Mental Health, and I'm also Director of Opioid Prevention Strategy for Ulster County. And today we're going to be talking about the other epidemic that's out there, and that is the opioid epidemic, which has caused a lot of suffering over the last several years in communities throughout the country and right here in Ulster County. And has also taken a lot of lives. Last year, I think in the United States, it was over 72,000 people lost their lives due to opioid use and overdose. And we have with us today a friend and a valuable community partner, someone who's been on our program before, and he is David McNamara. David is Executive Director of the Samadhi Recovery Community Outreach Center. And it's a mindfulness-based center, and he's going to tell us all about that. So welcome, David. How are you?
I'm well, Ben. How are you?
Good. Holding up in all of this COVID Twilight Zone era?
I got a haircut today, so that's
there you go. Yeah, looking sharp. So, David, before we get into how the opioid epidemic has been exacerbated by COVID, tell us a little bit about Samadhi, the Samadhi Recovery Community Outreach Center, how it got started, why you decided to do it, and your involvement.
Yeah, absolutely. So as you know, Vin, I was a filmmaker for many, many years, and I was in the middle of making a documentary about addiction and about the opioid epidemic. And during that time, this is about 2015, my son's best friend died of a heroin overdose in Woodstock. And then subsequently, three other young men died of heroin overdoses like in the next month. And it brought my attention to the fact that all of the amazing things that I was learning in my research and making the documentary needed to be like used in our community. And I put the film kind of on the back burner. I'm still working on it in the background. But so I basically took my own resources, my savings and whatever I had, and found this space on Clinton Avenue, and we opened the center on April 12th of last year. I have a long history of working with meditation and mindfulness. I do a mindfulness program in Greenhaven State Prison, and then I've been working with mindfulness programs in rehabs in our area in Ulster County. I found that the response and just the way of looking at things has been really, really, beneficial for not for everyone, but there are a lot of people that fall through the cracks that traditional ways of treating addiction is not really working for them. So I find that this can be a really great alternative.
Uh-huh. And for the benefit of our listeners who might not be familiar with mindfulness and mindfulness practice and what are the basic principles? Tell us about that and why it's really applicable to opioid use disorder.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So mindfulness, a general definition of mindfulness is learning how to pay attention in a very specific way. And when I say that, I mean paying attention to every aspect of your life. So in other words, if I'm washing the dishes, I'm just washing the dishes. If I'm going for a walk, I'm just going for a walk. Many times we're driving on the highway, at 65 miles an hour, and we're not really present.
Present to the good things and the not so good things happening in our lives, right?
Right, right. So just we're kind of on autopilot for much of our lives. And I'm not just talking about people, involved in substance use disorder, but just in many of us in general are not present in our lives. Now, why this is particularly important in substance use disorder and opioid use disorder is is that, you know, quite often when you ask people, that people, you know, have a lapse and they return to use, you ask them, well, what do you think happened? And they say, I don't know. It's, I don't know what happened. I have no idea. Now, the reason that they say that is that they were not aware. They were not present in their body
right.
when it happened. You know, a lot of times people will say, I was on the train, I was on the bus, and next thing I know, I was at the dealer's door. And I don't even know how I don't remember how I
right.
got.
So it's kind of like an automatic response. I mean, it's the same thing, right, with any suffering that any of us might encounter, right? Whether it's depression or an addiction or what have you, the first step in healing and recovering, right, is to understand the nature of that suffering, where it comes from, you know, what are the factors that caused it, what is your role in it, and how then to be prepared to take the next steps. And I noticed on your website, you had a really interesting sentence, and it said, addiction is automatic and compulsive. Because of this, it precludes states of mind that are open, peaceful, and free. I thought that was really powerful.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the whole thing, isn't it? I mean that idea, and you know, again, many times people say to me, well, I don't really know anything about addiction. And I was like, well, you know, if you're human, you actually know something about addiction. I mean, every time that we're in a situation that's uncomfortable and we pick up our phone and we look at it, right? What are we doing? We're distracting ourselves from the present moment.
Right. Right.
If I'm having an argument with someone and I reach, there's a box of cookies sitting there, and I sit there and I start having a cookie. You know, all of a sudden it makes me feel better. You know,
there's certainly an unlimited number of ways in our society to avoid confronting our own deepest fears and feelings, right? And outrunning them. The problem is that, you know, you can run, but you really can't hide, you know, and mindfulness uncovers, right? And it helps people do that. So we're going to talk about the effects of COVID on people with opioid use disorder a little bit after the break. But in terms of the isolation, is isolation, emotional isolation, and then of course, physical isolation, a factor that really exacerbates opioid use disorder and addiction?
I think absolutely it does. But part of the problem, it's not the isolation, it's not the problem, it's not knowing how to be in isolation. So, you know, every time that I teach someone how to meditate, I'm teaching them how to be with themselves, right? Mm-hmm. And how to be with their feelings, how to be with their thoughts, how to be with their emotions. If you don't have any practice in that, and all of a sudden you're thrown into this mandated isolation, it can be a huge trigger for returning. I mean, we've noticed a very high rate of people returning to use because of the isolation.
Yeah, we see that countywide too. Last year, we had managed to reduce opioid fatalities, as you know, by 41% in Ulster County. This year, as of today's date, we have exceeded the number of fatalities for all of 2019, unfortunately. And I think, you know, the number of overdoses have been sky high. I think you find an already complex and challenging condition where people are now cut off from their friends, cut off from their loved ones, cut off from their other social associations, employment, worries about the economy, you know, financial worries, all of that has to, it's a toxic mix, I would imagine. Tell us though a little bit about the types of programs that Samadhi offers in terms of programs and services and support services that you use to help individuals.
Absolutely. So we have about 70 hours of programming, and we're open, you know, from Monday till Saturday, from 11 a.m. till 9 p.m. And this includes, a program called Mindfulness-Based Addiction Recovery, which was started by Dr. Valerie Mason-John, which is kind of connected to Mindfulness-Based Stress Reduction, which you may have heard of. It's a pretty popular program that was started by Jon Kabat-Zinn. And again, it's a way of learning how to experience what I'm actually feeling in my body. You know, a lot of times in the case of relapse, you know, they often say the relapse started days before you actually relapse. And this is true, but if you're not, you don't know how to be aware of what's happening in your body. I mean, you know, for within addiction, you know, many of us have numbed our bodies for so long that it's really back in touch. So that's a program that helps people to be aware of the triggers, be aware that there's something they need to pay attention to. We start every day and end every day with a meditation class. We offer Tai Chi, Qigong, yoga, trauma-informed yoga. And a lot of those body practices also are very, very important to in the practice of mindfulness and mindfulness-based recovery, because people have to start to be able to feel their bodies again. Not only feel their bodies, but feel good. You know, remember to feel good in your body without substances, right?
Right. So healing really gets, I mean, true recovery can only begin to take place when an individual has really arrived at that moment in time when they say to themselves, I really, this is not acceptable anymore. It's not good for me. It's not good for my family. It's just not working for me anymore. And I really need to change.
Right. Right. And what happens is people can get caught in just this downward loop of like, well, what did I do? It's so terrible the way that I live my life. And you know, the idea that now you have this amazing opportunity, you know, it was funny. I was saying to somebody yesterday, I said, it's so ironic that sometimes I feel like I don't have enough time for this, or I don't have enough time for that. And, you know, I think I used to spend, you know, 14, 15 hours in a bar.
Well, yeah. And the average American watches like 4.5 to 5 hours of TV a day. Same thing with the gym. People say, oh, I don't have time for that. I've been going for 15 years. And I say to them, my friends, like, you think I have time? you have to make time. If you want to get healthy and get a better quality of life, you have to pay attention and make time for yourself. We want to talk a lot more, David, about your programs. But first, we're going to take a short break. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. We'll be back after these words.
Pass it on.
Now's the time to stay apart. Social distancing. But I'm adding something else. Pull together. What's pulling together while we're staying apart? It's calling family to check in on them. It's waving to your neighbor. It's the things we should have been doing all along. And when this tragedy passes and we're able to come together, we'll be stronger than ever because we've already pulled together. Stay apart. Pull together.
Pass it on.
From PassItOn.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. My name is Vincent Martello. I'm Director of Community Health Relations for the Ulster County Department of Health and Mental Health, and also Director of Opioid Prevention Strategy for Ulster County. And we're talking with David McNamara, who's Executive Director of the Samadhi Recovery Community Outreach Center. David, before the break, we were talking about the effects of COVID, the COVID pandemic on folks that are suffering from opioid use disorder and, you know, the involuntary isolation and some of the stressors that cause that. And one of the characteristics that we notice in public health about COVID is that it really does affect those with chronic underlying health conditions much more than the general population, that those folks are much more vulnerable. So, you know, in the public health world, we look at opioid use disorder as a chronic recurring brain disease, right? So a chronic disease, just like if someone had, you know, diabetes or if they had heart disease or whatever, it's a disease and it deserves to be treated as such. So what are you seeing in your interactions with folks that you deal with, and what are the changes been on the ground?
I mean, what I'm noticing, I mean, a lot of the folks that we work with already have you know, anxiety disorder, you know, different forms of OCD, and basically anybody who suffers from anxiety, you know, post-pandemic, those levels of anxiety have increased, you know, enormously. So a lot of the, you know, a lot of the programming that we do here as far as mindfulness and meditation, you know, have been helpful for individuals, but also to give them tools. Because, you know, when you turn on the TV and you listen to the media, there's constantly a story that terrifies you and that reinvigorates
Psychic anxiety. Toxicity is what Thich Nhat Hanh calls it. You know, that if you fill your mind with doom and gloom and despair and violence and hate, you know, all of that imagery, it can make you emotionally ill, you know, on top of whatever.
Absolutely. I mean, I was talking to Gabor Mate, and he said, you know, he said, not only do we have a pandemic, but we have an infodemic.
Right. Right. And of course, you know, it's a 24/7 news cycle. Yes, you want to give the public realistic information and accurate information, but when it becomes 24/7, when people have the TV on all day or the radio, or, you know, their every waking moment is filled with, oh my gosh, you know, the healthcare system's breaking down, the law enforcement system's breaking down, systemic racism, as we know, is now being exposed for the deep-rooted serious problem that it is. It can make people who are not struggling with a serious disorder like opioid even have a hard time. So I could just imagine. David, we work together on a lot of different areas, and we're at a lot of different meetings with different community partners. Tell us a little bit about how you collaborate with different community partners, what kinds of services you offer them, whether it be the jail, emergency departments, whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, as you know, Vin, we established a 24-hour certified peer hotline with the hospital, with the emergency room of Kingston Hospital. And basically, we send out a certified recovery peer advocate. Well, I'll explain what that is in a moment. But we send out a peer 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, whenever anyone either experiences an overdose and is brought to the emergency department. Sometimes people will call us directly and we'll send people out to the site. Sometimes it's not an overdose. Sometimes somebody's worried that they might be coming close to an overdose. And sometimes people are just really, you know, broken down, especially with what's happening right now. You know, we get calls, you know, people that want to go into treatment. Now, I can't get somebody into treatment at 2 o'clock in the morning, but I
think we've had those conversations, haven't we, over the last couple of months.
But the thing is that I can, if need be, I can send a peer out to meet that person. Or I can talk to the person on the phone for a couple of hours to make sure that they're safe. And then first thing in the morning, we can start the process of trying to get them into treatment. But as you know, that critical moment of somebody feeling like they want to make a change, you know, that's the place where we can't lose.
Right, right. That's a narrow window of opportunity. Right. So you mentioned peers. For our listeners' benefit, what is a certified peer recovery advocate? What function do they serve?
So CCAR, which is the Connecticut Center of Addiction Recovery, they came up with a curriculum called a Certified Recovery Peer Advocate, which is a CERPA. And as you know, we started a program to actually train people to become peers. And the county has, you know, generously given us a number of scholarships to make available to our community. And so basically what that is a person with lived experience. Now, when I say lived experience, it could be their own addiction, but it could also be we have trained parents that have had children that have been addicted. Uh-huh. We've trained family members. You know, we've talked to law enforcement about training them. And what it is basically is someone who helps guide you through your recovery. Not telling you what to do or how to do it, but rather helping you to figure out what your recovery wants to look like. Because there are multiple pathways out there. There's not
kind of
one
like
way
walking,
to recover.
Walking the walk with you until you reach that point that you're ready.
Yeah. And people have said to me, well, isn't that the same as a sponsor? And it's different from being a sponsor in a 12-step program in that that's one specific framework. That's someone guiding you through one specific framework that has rules and structures, and that's the way that you do it. A recovery coach or a certified recovery peer will basically help the person to figure out what their recovery plan looks like. So in other words, you know, we just had a gentleman who said, I used to love to hike when I was a kid. When I was younger, I really loved to hike. And I said, well, why don't you do that now? And we set up a recovery hike. You know, we got 15 people. It was like one of the few COVID activities that we could, you know, because everybody wore it and stayed 10 feet apart, and they hiked the trail in Woodstock up by the Tibetan monastery.
Overlooking Mountain. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, so that person, part of their recovery is hiking and doing outdoor things, you know, with other people in recovery. So, you know, when things like that present themselves, and some people, their path is yoga. Some people, their path is 12 steps. Sometimes some people, their path is some of the programs that we run, like Refuge Recovery and 8-step Recovery or Smart Recovery, you know, which are alternative, you know, recovery programs.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, and it's like, you know, you take a little from column A, a little from column B, a little from column C, and you figure out, you know, what is my personal recovery look like?
Right. And then the peer helps gently guide that person down the right path, right? So I know that we have worked together to provide peer services for those who are in the Ulster County Jail with substance use issues, right? We set up a medication-assisted treatment program in the jail where the peers assist them. What are some of the other ways that the peers are involved in the community?
Well, you know, I wanted to speak a little bit more about the program in the jail, because, I mean, before the pandemic, you know, we had set up a program where 3 to 4 times a week we were running a peer-based program inside the jail, inside the MAT program, also with individuals that were interested in talking to a peer through the discharge planner. And the beauty of that is that we build relationships, and then when people are about to be released, you know, we're told a week or two before the person is going to be released, you know, we meet with them again. So when they're released, they have somebody that can meet them on the outside.
Right. Somebody to, right, make that transition. Right. Right. And that's, you know, and in a way, incarceration is never good. Right. But in some ways it does kind of hit the pause button. Right. And gives, those of us in the caring world, a little bit of an opportunity that we might not have had, right, to reach out to that person, right, and their families, perhaps.
Right, right, right. Absolutely. No, and that's a really big part of it. I mean, a lot of times, you know, sometimes I'll get parents that will call the hotline and say, you know, my son or my daughter, and you know, that person is over 18 years old, they have to, you know, contact us. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. it's because the person needs to want to have their own recovery. But, you know, the beauty of one of the major tools of a recovery coach is motivational interviewing. That's one of the biggest things that we use. And, mm-hmm. You know, motivational interviewing is a way of creating discrepancy.
Right.
So in other words, if a person says, well, you know, I'm just going to use a little bit on the weekends, but during the week, I'm not going to use.
Right. Right. So it's kind of like a little bit of a reality check, a little bit of like information and interviewing at the same time. Right.
Right. Right. I mean, when I first learned motivational interviewing, I thought of that show Columbo that I used to
write. Yes. Very crafty interviewer. So David, before we run out of time, tell us how folks get in touch with Samadhi and how they reach out to you.
Okay, so we are located at 122 Clinton Avenue in Kingston, New York. We are here, again, as I said, from 11 a.m. till 9 p.m. Monday through Saturday.
And your website is?
Our website is www.samadhiny.org.
And folks can get the information there, right? All the hotline numbers and all of that.
Yep. And also we are also on Facebook. We are Samadhi New York on Facebook, and we have updates. We're always having right now we have 3 or 4 really exciting Zoom presentations that are coming up.
Oh, great.
We have one with Luis Mujica, aside from our regular programming, which is, you know, all week long, but we also have Luis Mujica is 5 o'clock on Wednesday, July 1st.
Great. Well, it sounds like really great. You know, if folks out there are struggling with opioid use disorder, or you have a loved one or a friend who is, Samadhi is an amazing organization. Their work is so innovative and so compassionate and caring that you owe it to yourself to really check them out. And David, thank you for the work that you and your colleagues do. It's really terrific. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Tune in next week for more great information that you can use to keep yourself, your family, and our community healthy and strong.
You've been listening to the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a community affairs presentation from the Ulster County Health Department, sponsored by Health Alliance of the Hudson Valley in Kingston, a member of the WMC Health Network. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us for another edition of the Healthy Ulster Radio Show next week.